It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We were talking a little bit earlier about the West Virginia Penn State game coming up, and it's tomorrow. I know there's a lot of people that are big Penn State fans. I know there's a lot of West Virginia fans, and we had Mike Cassez on a little bit ago to talk from the West Virginia side. So we are going to have Joe Smelter on right now from Nittany. What is it now? Nittany Sports Now, right?
That's right.
He is going to talk to us a little bit about the Penn State side. And Joe.
Hey, Joe, taking the 15.
Hello, Joe. Are you there?
I'm there.
So, first and foremost, I understand that you are a Waynesburg guy, like, well, half of our staff here seems to be.
Yeah, that's right. I went to school 2 years graduated 2 years after Donnie Football did, and I was a little before City Limits when I think I graduated in 20. Austin got there in the fall of 21, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Me if I'm wrong on that. But yeah, Harry Callis was the year below me, and there's been a lot of Waynesburg people that have obviously been working at the Fan and doing pretty well for themselves. So that's good to see.
Well, that's good. And, of course, you cover Penn State tomorrow. Big game in Morgantown, West Virginia. It's not a typical opener for a lot of teams. You know, a lot of teams like to be at home in their first game against somebody they're supposed to be able to beat. But this is kind of biting off a lot to chew right out of the gate, isn't it, for Penn State?
Yeah, I think it is. But Penn State's probably better prepared for a road opener against the Power 5 team, Paul, than I would say most programs are. Going back in recent history, 2020 obviously doesn't really count a ton because of the circumstances, but they did open on the road at Indiana. The next year they opened on the road at Wisconsin, opened at Purdue the year after that. And these were the season openers, not just the Big Ten openers. Got to play at home last year, but still against a Power 5 team in West Virginia. And now going back on the road, the last time Penn State had a cupcake opener, you have to go back to 2019, which feels like a while ago. They played Idaho and scored I think they scored 70 that day. But they haven't had that type of game in a while, and tomorrow certainly is not going to be that type of game either.
Okay, so Penn State, we know they've got Drew Lar back. There's a lot of people that think they're going to be a playoff team. What are your thoughts on them, and what are the best things they have going for them?
Yeah, I think they don't really have an excuse not to make the playoff, barring, of course, injuries are an unfortunate part of sports, and those could really wreck a season if a team has bad luck with the injury bug. But assuming everybody's healthy, the schedule isn't an easy schedule by any stretch, but at the same time, you know, there's no Oregon, there's no Michigan. You got two teams right there. Oregon, I think, could win a national title, and Michigan, even though they won't be what they were the past few years probably, they're still a team that could make the college football playoffs. So to not have either of those teams on the schedule is absolutely huge. And as far as what Penn State has going for it, they have a lot back from last season, and they're good. They were deep enough last year to where a lot of guys can come in and step in to fill the roles of players that are now in the NFL. I think the best example of that is you look at the defensive end position. Last year, Penn State had a first-round pick in Sharp Robinson, the guy who ended up dropping a little bit to the fourth round in Adisa Isaac, but still was one of the better ends in college football. And you're losing both of those guys, but it still doesn't feel like Penn State's going to have much of a problem at defensive end, because you have denied Dennis Sutton, who was basically a starter last season. They ran a lot of free defensive end sets. He's coming back, and you have Abdul Carter moving from linebacker to defensive end. So that's just an example of the depth they have. I think basically at every position, with the exception of receiver, which we'll start to see what that might look like tomorrow. Penn State's in pretty solid shape personnel-wise, and there's a lot back from last season. There's playoffs has expanded from 4 to 12, which Penn State should benefit probably more than anybody else with that change. And, yeah, there's really no reason for this team not to make the college football playoff if everybody's healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. If you look at their schedule, I think it's very manageable. The big question is, you know, can they beat Ohio State? And that is not going to be known until they actually play. But that's sort of the last frontier, really. I mean, James Franklin's been really good at winning all the games he's supposed to win. He's been really good at, you know, being consistently a 9, 10, 11 win team. But, you know, he's got to prove that the one time he won the Big Ten wasn't a fluke. I mean, that's really basically what he's got left to prove, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. That Ohio State game is always a big deal, but now it's going to feel even more significant because it's no longer – Michigan is obviously still a factor in the Big Ten, but they're not a factor on Penn State's schedule. Ohio State and Michigan had been lumped in with the two teams Penn State hasn't been able to beat. Now Michigan's not there, and that Ohio State game, I think, has a bit of an added emphasis. So, obviously, Penn State plays tough with Ohio State pretty much every single season. I think there's only been one year in the James Franklin era where Ohio State blew the doors off Penn State. That was back in 2015 when Franklin was still very early in his tenure. But, yeah, that game, November 2nd, I think there's a very good chance Penn State could be undefeated going into that one. And if Penn State is undefeated, I think they'll probably be in that top five. So that's going to be a huge matchup that, to the chagrin of a lot of people, is going to be on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff. That's not official yet, but I think we all have a good idea of where that's going. But yeah, James Franklin's done pretty much everything you could ask. He's won the Big Ten. He's beaten Ohio State. He's beaten Michigan a few times. But because the playoff was only four teams, Penn State got the short end of the stick in a lot of years. And now, With that expanded playoff, Penn State really should be able to cross that off the list.
Joe, one of the big questions this year is going to be Drew Aller. How does he perform? Does he take the big step? Do you think Aller does? And if so, what do you think the heights could be for Penn State this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, Drew Aller is the key to this team getting to where it wants to get to. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think last season he played pretty well for the most part. Obviously, if you end the year with 25 touchdowns and only two picks, you're doing something right. But the bottom line was, and I hate to be beating a dead horse because this has been said a lot over the offseason, is that Drew Aller played his two worst games when Penn State needed him to be at his best. I think Drew will be the first to admit that. He didn't show up at Ohio State, didn't show up against Michigan, and that's a big reason Penn State didn't come through in both of those games. So, yeah, as far as taking the next big step, I think he's going to be a lot better. I think this new offensive coordinator, it really depends, Austin. The success of Drew Aller and really Penn State's offense depends on how well Drew can fit in Andy Kotelnicki's system. Somewhat of a concern that people have mentioned is that looking at Kotelnicki's history, especially at Kansas, he's a guy that's coached very well with mobile quarterbacks. He hasn't had a prototypical pocket passer really to work with, certainly not a guy that was a five-star number one QB in the country coming out of high school the way Drew Aller has. So we'll see what Kotelnicki can do with this type of talent at his disposal, because he's really never had anything like it before. But I think all signs are pointing from what's been reported and what we've been hearing out of camp is that this is going to be a very good partnership. And if it is, Drew Aller is going to take that next step, whether that's enough to beat an Ohio State team that many are pegging as a national title favorite. Who knows? Because Ohio State's a team where a good quarterback performance isn't going to guarantee you anything. It certainly would help, but it's not going to guarantee a win. But in any case, I think you're going to see a better Drew Aller, and I think he's going to be a guy that really is the focal point in leading Penn State to where not to where it wants to go, because their goal is to win a national title, but to be a factor in that 12-team playoff. I think that there's nothing stopping Drew Aller from leading Penn State there.
Well, last one for you, Joe. Tomorrow, obviously, big game against West Virginia. How do you see it playing out? Give us a couple of the keys for, you know, Penn State to be able to win, or, you know, even for Penn State to struggle.
Yeah, I think a key for Penn State, Paul, is to not turn it over, right? And that's that sounds like football 101, and it is. But I think it, in particular with this type of game, West Virginia, it's hard to see West Virginia beating Penn State, at least in my eyes, without that defense forcing a big turnover in a big spot. I think this plays to Penn State's advantage, barring it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so that could really mess everything up as far as ball security goes. But at least from what Penn State was able to do very well last season, Penn State didn't turn it over a ton. And that's a big reason why they won the 10 games that they did, was they played a lot of teams that they, like they are against West Virginia, that they were supposed to beat, were favored to win. And they didn't really give teams opportunities to catch in on a big-time turnover. So that's my number one key for Penn State. For West Virginia, really, Derek Green's got to be on his game. And that's another basic key. But I think with the way this West Virginia defense is, I don't think it's thought to be a strength of that team. And I think for West Virginia to win offensively, they're going to have to really take it to Penn State. And that means Derek Green hurting Penn State both with his arm and with his feet. The two running backs, Jaheim White, C.J. Donaldson, they're going to be factors too. Those are probably my big keys for each team. As far as my prediction goes, my score is Penn State 31, West Virginia 20. That might be a little high scoring depending on what the weather ends up being. And I might, if I get to the stadium and it's clear that it's going to rain, I might kind of lower the total a little bit. But I think generally Penn State's going to win a tough game that will be close for the most part. But as long as Penn State doesn't really have a big lapse offensively where they throw a pick, fumble the ball, whatever, and kind of allow West Virginia to take advantage of the short field that way, I think they'll be in pretty good shape. Penn State's been arguably the easiest team in college football to bet over the past few years. When they're favored to win, they'll win and cover the spread. When they're favored to, when they're the underdogs, they'll lose and might not cover the spread. So, I think based on James Franklin's history in early season play, they haven't lost a game in August or September since 2018. Penn State's not a team that really takes what's thought to be lesser competition lightly, especially not in the first game of the season. I think they'll be ready to play, ready to go, and West Virginia is not going to make it easy on them, but I think Penn State comes away with a lower, kind of a lower-end double-digit win.
Joe, thank you so much, sir, and thank you for joining us and breaking it down, buddy, and enjoy the game.
All right, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you have it. No, you heard You've had it. There you have it. You've heard from both sides. Now, city limits. Who are you picking in this game now that you've heard from both sides?
I'm still picking Penn State to win. But I was looking at the weather, Paul. The weather at this point, at least, I don't know who you can trust with the weather. Like really. Nobody truly knows. It says that it's going to rain a little bit in the morning, but be done by 10 a.m. in Morgantown.
Yeah, and they have a field turf, don't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, it's not.
Yeah, but you're throwing a slick football. You're trying to catch a slick football in the rain. That's a factor.
It all depends. I mean, if you talk about football, a lot of times quarterbacks will tell you it's wind that's a much more of a factor than rain. Especially now, they all have gloves. They all have different ways. They keep the ball dry.
Wide receivers got those sticky
gloves.
Yeah,
I know. It's ridiculous. But what I mean is, in the old days, if it rained, it was a grass field where, it could turn into a mud bowl, then that would be. But nowadays, these fields are also, they drain all, perfectly drain well, and you know what I mean? Everything else. It's like, unless it's a monsoon. But if it's just going to rain a little bit, I don't think that changes much, you know?
No, but especially the way that these two teams want to play.
Most of the people down there, people that are down there won't know it's raining by 11 o'clock in the morning, even if it is.
I'll know.
You'll know.
I'll know it's raining.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah, I'm going. Pony's going. Crowley's going. We're not sitting together, but we're gonna try. I'm going to try to meet up with Crowley before the game.
Who are you going down there with?
My sister and my sister's boyfriend.
Really?
Yep.
Are they big Mountaineer fans or big Penn State?
No, they both go to Penn State. My sister Olivia is a junior, and her boyfriend Troy is from Moon.
Are you going to wear that shirt?
I am not wearing this shirt. I'm wearing a jersey down there.
A Penn State jersey?
I will, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm starting to waver on what jersey I should wear. I have two. I just ordered one. I bought a jersey specifically for this game.
Have you been to a game in Morgantown?
I have. I was at last year. I covered last year's Pitt West Virginia game.
They're a special kind of crowd.
Yes, they were yelling at me when I was on the field. And I was like, literally not doing anything, but yeah, they were
saying,
berating me.
For your own sake, I'm glad it's a noon game if you're going to be wearing Penn State gear.
Yes.
Because at 7 or 8, when they've had all day to get lubed up, wearing the other team's gear has been known to not be a very good... it's known to not be accepted very well in that town. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we overplay the home crowd really getting on the road crowd thing. I don't know.
There are some places where that's not the case.
Yeah.
You see people come to Pitt games all the time wearing the other team's crowd, and they don't care.
I feel like even at Steeler games, you don't see a lot of bashing of the 49ers who took over the stadium last year. Or I think the Browns and the Ravens and Bengals
then,
are the only
one. Like, after, I was at the Ravens after the Ravens game. I was at Burn, you know what I mean, smoking a cigar, and there was a bunch of people wearing Ravens jerseys in there, and nobody cared.
Yeah, I was at a Raven game. I've been to probably four of the last five Ravens games at home, and it's just like, whatever. You make a joke and you move on. That's it.
It's a little different in Morgantown, though, and I'll tell you where else it's different where I've lived. Philadelphia.
Yes, that I will 100% stand by. I've never been to a game there, Philadelphia people I've met.
I can honestly tell you, I would probably, definitely not for a night game. If I went to an Eagles game, I would not wear the other team's jersey.
Paul, there's a reason why there's a jail underneath the stadium.
Exactly.
You ever hear that story?
Absolutely. And I've been in that stadium. Listen, when I lived in Philadelphia, I used to go to Phillies games all the time, and I'd go to a couple of Eagle games. The Sixers game, that's a different crowd, but like, the Flyers fans, the Eagles fans, and the Phillies fans are Phillies fans aren't quite as bad, but the Flyers and the Eagles fans are out of their minds.
Well, I feel like hockey and football fans are just more outrageous when it's that type of environment because it's a lot more violent of a sport, and it feels like the fans want to try to conquer that as well on their own, too, their own violence in the stands sometimes.
Right.
If that makes any sense, compared to baseball, where it's a little bit more relaxed.
Well,
different type of environment, different type of feel to the game.
Doesn't matter what it is, though. They boo everyone. That's what I think is hilarious. They boo everyone.
They boo Santa Claus in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, if you're going to go to the West Virginia Penn State game and you're going to wear Penn State gear, then I would tell you this. Look, here we go. Look, Pat McAfee show.
Oh, the McAfee show.
They are already there. He's showing the crowd.
Well, currently he's showing the sky. It doesn't look like the Pat cam or whatever's going on. There you go.
There we go. He's trying to show all the signs, at least the ones that don't have swear words on them.
I don't really know if they care about that on the McAfee show, considering they say swear words all the time on that show.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
They had Pat White on the show to begin. No Kabali, though, today. No Kabali in Morgantown.
No Kaboom.
No. Do not see Kaboom. How about the picture he's got in the background right behind him of an eagle and an American flag?
Yeah.
How American can you get? It's West Virginia, baby.
That's the beauty of it. You know, Morgantown. I'll tell you what's amazing is, if you think about it, the 13-9 game when Pitt beat them, that game cost West Virginia a national championship.
Yeah, they were the number two team in the country.
And you know what? He was one of the biggest goats for West Virginia in that game.
Didn't he miss two field goals?
He missed two chip shot field goals in the first quarter. If they make them, I think West Virginia rolls to a win, and I'll tell you why. It would have been 6-0, right? And then they scored in their next drive. They just basically scored the touchdown to make it 13-0. If Pitt goes down 13-0 in that game, all of a sudden they can't just play keep away. They tried as hard as they could to just let LeSean McCoy essentially kill the clock, right? Which they could do when they were still connected within a score. But it was just kind of all you had to do was make a couple field goals. But it seems like he's beloved there.
Yeah. He's like their West Virginia savior down there.
Yeah.
I guess 79 is now all clear. No traffic on 79.
Well,
according to West Virginia, somebody from West Virginia that just texted in, that's driving through West Virginia. Somebody else texted in, I saw a Steeler fan put a Ravens fan in a dumpster at one game. How about that?
Wow.
That's extreme. Is it like the dumpster meme? You know, the dumpster that was floating down during the flooding in Pittsburgh at one time and it was on fire? Did you ever see that meme? There's a meme of the dumpster that's on fire floating down.
Yes.
I don't even know what street it was floating down.
I've used it many times. But I was going to say, I went once to the Cleveland Browns at the old Cleveland Stadium. I sat in the dog pound wearing an Oilers jersey.
I'm sure that went well.
Yeah, but I would say right at the end of the first quarter, I moved to the other side of the stadium. Because those people were completely out of their minds.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, we got Pat.
All right, and let's go right now to the fan hotline and talk to Pat Bostic. And Pat, it's kind of interesting. There's a little nostalgia going on right now. In the background, I have the Pat McAfee show on. And he is live in Morgantown. They're getting ready for that big game down there. But every time I see Pat McAfee and hear Pat McAfee and think about Pat McAfee, the only thing I can think of is him missing two field goals in the biggest game of his career.
Yeah, no, I was going to tweet at him, Paul, and thank him for having Owen Schmidt and Matt White and Slayton on. If they're having a 13-9 reunion, and I appreciate it.
Exactly. It's a 13-9 reunion, and, of course, you were a big part of that game, too. But it's always amazing to me. And it goes to show you, you know, and a lot of times the, you know, the guys who are the GOATs in those games are the ones that are, like, exiled. But he seems to be still beloved in Morgantown.
Yeah, well, he's done a heck of a job, obviously, with his career. And he embodies, I think, the spirit of certainly that program, and has taken his career to pretty significant heights. So just doing him a big solid by being down there. It looks pretty raucous. I understand there's some bleep outs have to happen because they're chanting some obscenities, which doesn't surprise me. But, no, Pat's a good dude, and that's quite the show down there. It should be a big game down in Morgantown tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It should be fun. It should be interesting. But, yeah, like I said, every time I see him or hear from him, I always think of the two field goals that he missed in that game that you guys obviously prevailed. Of course, you guys have your own game. It's not, you know, big nationally, but, you know, it's big for Pitt because it's their opener, and, of course, you want to get off to a good start. And more importantly, Pat, it's the first time we will all get an opportunity to see whatever this offense is, it looks like, and what it is, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it in the spring game, but that was just a taste. I think we'll get a chance to see the tempo and see Eli Holstein at quarterback. Obviously, that was made public yesterday. I think it'll be fun to watch. You know, it'll be more fun to watch if they get rolling and score some points. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the live bullets fly and watching how these guys perform when it counts.
Yep. So, Pat Narduzzi announced Eli Holstein as the starter. Did that surprise you? Obviously, you're around it very much. But, I mean, you know, given what we were told in the spring and even early in training camp, it seemed to be going the other way. I mean, did Eli Holstein just really play well the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he caught up, as Pat Narduzzi said, at his Monday presser, and Cade Bell kind of confirmed. And I think, you know, I liken it to they realized that they both can play winning football, which is a positive. So the floor is set. I think they're just really, really intrigued to see what the ceiling is with Eli Holstein, and the concept of having, the prospect of having 3 or 4 years of him is really enticing to get him that experience and see what he does when the bright lights are out there. It's comforting to know you have Yarnell there. I am surprised that a starter was named. I think we all know that Pat Narduzzi likes to play it a little close to the vest, but I think this is symbolic in terms of really giving Eli a jolt and some confidence heading into his first career start.
How is he different than Nate Yarnell?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more athletic. He's a stronger build, so more durable, so probably more apt to utilize him in the run game. I would say not that Nate is slow by any stretch, but he's got everything you want in a college quarterback. Throws the ball plenty well and with plenty of velocity and can get it down the field. He's accurate. He's played in this system before, which Nate Yarnell did too, but more recently for Eli Holstein, he played in this style system in high school. So all the RPO and stuff is very natural to him. He did a lot of it, you know, playing scout team down in Alabama. And obviously, you know, the pedigree. You know, this guy was a top 30 recruit coming out of high school. So he's been under the spotlight before. Obviously, when you go to Alabama, you've got something to you, even though he was somewhat buried in the depth chart. I think some of that talent that you want to see consistently is certainly evident when you watch him practice and hopefully in a game environment tomorrow.
Clear up some things about the offense for us, will you please, Pat? How is this different than the Todd Graham high-octane offense that, you know, I mean, when he came in – they wanted to go real fast. I mean, is this going to be – this isn't going to be – they're not going to throw the ball 75 times a game right here, are they? I mean, this isn't going to be that kind of offense. It's mostly just about tempo, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they certainly – in using the RPO, you could throw it more than you run it. But there's games when depending on the look you'll hand it off, more than you throw it. So I think the biggest difference, Paul, that I could distinguish between this offense and what you typically watch on Saturday afternoons nowadays, because the difference, you know, when Todd Graham brought that offense to Pitt, you know, it was Rich Rodriguez and you know, Oklahoma State and a little bit in the, down in South, they were running the kind of the run and shoot and a little bit of spread option. But the up-tempo stuff was more the exception than the rule. Now that's more the rule than the exception. You see up-tempo almost all the time. The difference for me with Cade Bell and what he does is the incorporation of motions and shifts and some of the more pro-style stuff with the tempo. That's putting a lot on players. And if you're able to execute that, it gives you a significant advantage because not only are you dictating the tempo of the game, but you're also able to do the things that are more traditional to a pro-style offense with that tempo, which I've been impressed and very intrigued in how that works. And it's been very interesting to watch, you know, just in practice.
Cade Bell, we're talking with Pat Bostic, voice of the Pitt Panthers. You're the color commentator of the color analyst of the Pitt Panthers. I guess Bill Hillgrove is technically
Billy's
the voice.
Billy's the voice. You got it.
Yes. So, you're obviously a big part of the broadcast team, and I've always been impressed by how much you enjoy breaking down film and talking football. Have you gotten a chance to do that a little bit with Cade Bell? I mean, it seems to me like he's a little bit of a football junkie himself.
Yeah, we have. He's a little younger than me, which is a first. Having an offensive coordinator that's younger than me, that means I'm getting older. But he's 31 years old, so he played a few years after I did down at Jacksonville, and you know, he's a coach's son. He's just a gym rat, and you know, he really has pulled a lot from the NFL game and the 2019 LSU offense and kind of incorporated and melded it with what Tennessee does. That's what's been most, I think, interesting about him is how much he studies other teams and incorporates it into his system. But he played quarterback, so he knows the position. Everything runs through the quarterback. And I think he's developed a really good rapport with them. I think the thing that struck me the most is how demanding he is with those guys. And it's been fun to watch him coach and get to know him. And he'll be fun to watch on the sideline. He's an energetic guy.
Defensively, Pat, and I'll just quote Pat Narduzzi when he was on my show like 2 weeks ago. I said to him, you know, you lost a number of high-profile players on defense. How do you replace them? And he started off by saying, well, let's start here. Those high-profile players led us to 3 wins. So, yeah. My question is, it sounds like he's got a lot of young and, you know, some depth at all of positions on defense. Do you like the defense? Do you think they have a chance to be really good?
I do. I like them on the – I think the D-line's still a little bit of a build. They're deep at D-tackle, the D-end spot. They need to – you know, they got to stay healthy. But I love the linebacking core they have. It's young, but it's incredibly athletic. And I think it's the deepest group of safeties they've had. I think it's going to allow them to play a little bit differently. Then, not that they've always blitzed a lot. I mean, they're in the 35% to 36% range, I think, which is pretty high. But, you know, I think they're going to rely upon those linebackers to make a lot of plays, and I expect them to. So I think it's a very athletic defense in that way. I don't think they can rely as much on a 4-man rush. But when you watch them just line up and go play ball, there's just speed everywhere. And I think in today's ball, that's as valuable as anything is having those second level players that can run with receivers. And also when asked and when assigned, get after the quarterback, and they have the propensity to do that.
Well, real quickly, we'll get your thought a little bit. What will we see from Kent State? I'm sure you've done some, you know, study on them and research, because obviously you got to call the game. What are some of your thoughts about Kent State?
Yeah, I think they're you know, they went 1-11 last year. Kenny Burns came in from Minnesota, worked for PJ Fleck, and you know, it's going to start with running the ball. You know, they're a spread out offense. I think they'll be somewhat slower operationally than Pitt. They named a sophomore their starting quarterback, who you know, played well. He's thrown 4 touchdowns in his career, but he's not a runner by trade. Transfer tailback. They're young up front. And defensively, you know, they've got some experience back. They got two new coordinators on both sides, one coming from Charlotte, one coming from North Dakota State. So you're kind of unsure what you're going to see schematically. But listen, you know, we've seen enough of these games, Paul, with mid-major or mid-majors and mid-American conference teams that, you know, these kids treat these games like they're bowl games. And I expect to see – they got a lot of kids from Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania on their roster. I expect to see their best shot come tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how they approach the game. You know, do you keep it close and try to run the ball and slow the game down? Or do you give them your best shot and go out there and guns a-blazing? It'll be I think we'll find out pretty quick.
With Cincinnati and then, you know, on the road and then West Virginia coming up, do you think that Pitt might hold some things back? Or do you think we might get a pretty full taste of the offense tomorrow?
I think we're going to get a full taste. I think enough's out there on Cade Bell and how they play. I think that this is a game, quite frankly, coming off of last season that's important to not only win, but win handily. And with a young quarterback, I think it's important to validate the work that he's done and let him go out there and play and cut it loose. So I don't expect it to be overly conservative. Certainly as the game goes on, that might be dictated to by the score, hopefully. But I expect them to cut it loose and, you know, put this offense out there and put on a show. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, well, that should be a lot of fun, and hopefully, you know, it's better. As I've said many times this summer, hopefully, it's better than Pitt's first attempt at high octane football.
Yeah, we need the actual octane this time, but I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be fun to watch the young guy go play tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Hey, I know you're really busy. I know you're getting ready for a game, and probably got all kinds of things you got to do. Thank you so much for jumping on and breaking it down for us.
You got it anytime, Paul. Appreciate you.
All right. That's Pat Bostic. And he's the voice. I actually took his advice and tweeted that out, City Limits.
What's that?
You know, the Pat McAfee Show has been tweeting all these photos of their show, right? And there's a picture with Owen Schmidt, Pat White, and Pat McAfee, and I said something to the effect of, "Hey, good to see the 13-9 crew is getting back together for."
How does he not get more like shame and ridicule for that?
I don't know.
He's one of the most powerful people in the media. Maybe he's getting to be one of the most powerful in all of sports.
Yeah,
is that right? I mean, I would think so.
I mean, I just think it's incredible. If you think about it. It's like people forget about that completely. But it's true. And it's, that's just, I don't know. But I do think that Pitt is going to be a little intriguing tomorrow. Will you have at least your eye on the phone following
on the
game cast or something?
Yeah, I'll be keeping it out for the Pitt score. What do you think the final score is going to be? We should make predictions for the final score.
Yeah, we can do that in 135. We'll do that in 135, right?
All right.
In the 135, we'll take a look at a number of games this weekend. You know, we've got Bob Waugh coming up. I'm sure he's going to be excited about talking about this past week of the Pirates.
Are you excited to talk about it?
Not really, because...
Frustrating. That's what I had to say.
You know, again, it wasn't that long ago that we were arguing vehemently that the Pirates are the one team that teams would be scared to death to play in the playoffs in a short series. And you say to yourself, well, I mean, with their top three pitchers, why not? And my answer would be they just played the Cubs at home with their top three.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.